Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
our listeners come together to talk about their favorite Beatles songs.
That's good, because we needed some help.
Okay, so what was it like a week ago or so that we did the Led Zeppelin countdown?
Yeah, right. It was about a week or two ago. Yeah, or maybe last week.
So we did this thing where we asked listeners, loyal listeners, in a like sort of a closed Facebook group to vote on their favorite songs from a certain band. Mm-hmm. It was the second time we had done it, mm-hmm. So we had a whole Led Zeppelin countdown. Go back and listen to that last week. But I mentioned the second time because the first time we did it with the Beatles.
That's right. Right? That was the first one, right around Christmas time.
Yeah, seemed like the logical place to start.
Yep.
With the Beatles. And it was really a fantastic list that we came up with.
It was
a top 15 list of really interesting songs, some popular, some more like deep cuts, right?
Well, if you heard Echo Park Jimmy early in the week, he basically said, hey, of course it's Rain for Rockin' the Suburbs as your number one pick. So.
And briefly, before we get into this feedback we got on the Beatles countdown list on Rockin' the Suburbs, I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I want to just tell you one little Beatles triumph that I had the other night in pub trivia.
Oh, great.
There was a Beatles question.
Okay.
It was a Paul McCartney question, which was really easy.
Mm-hmm.
But then they had for bonus points, answer this question. That one was a little bit harder, and I got that one right. But anyway, the Paul McCartney question was something basically like, this number one single, Paul McCartney did a duet, and it addressed like racial
colors.
You know, issues, whatever. So that one was super easy. But then for the bonus points, you had to answer, and I hope I have this year correct, it was what Beatles song was number one in the U.S. for, I think they said, 7 weeks in 1968.
Whoa.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, they said Beatles song, but I was thinking, since it's tacked onto a Paul McCartney question, it must be a Paul song.
Right.
And then I'm thinking 68, what would have been something that would have been a big like hit that he would have written, and I took a guess, but I got it right.
Hey Jude.
Yep, that's what
go.
I said. Yep.
Yeah.
Hey Jude.
Okay.
That was right.
That's great.
And others in my group were trying to talk me off of that. I just want to say this real quickly.
Yeah.
I won't name any names here, but somebody kept saying that they thought it was Yellow Submarine. And I'm like, no.
Right, no.
First of all, that's not a Paul song.
I know you play pub trivia pretty, maybe not as frequently as you used to, but for a while you used to play once a week.
We used to play
something.
Once a week, yeah.
People always turn to you for the music question.
They do.
Yeah, so there's a little extra pressure on
which
that.
Which is good and bad.
Yeah.
It's good because a lot of times I get them right, but it's bad because when I don't, then I get mocked.
Right.
Like, how did you not? Come on, we rely on you for this. Why are you? You know that you have one job. You know?
That's right. Well, I got the last 100 right.
That's right. And so
nobody said thank you.
So, but I got that one. So the Hey Jude question I got right. All right, let's move on here. Let's talk about Beatles correspondence. So we did, as I mentioned, the countdown.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and listen to that if you have not.
Yes.
You can find that in our archives. You can find all the old shows, by the way, at suburbspod.com or on Audioboom, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, all those places, right? You can find all those old shows.
Wherever fine podcasts are downloaded, you can get it. And that website, you know, it's a thankless job, but man, it's so important to us to have that archive there and everything. It's just, we refer to it constantly.
Fantastic.
So,
couple quick pieces of correspondence regarding the Beatles. And some of these were sort of like in real time, because the way we did the countdown was it was three songs per day from like Monday through Friday. So some of these comments were coming sort of in the middle of the countdown, which I thought was really fascinating. For instance, this one here from Andy Aldridge of London, England.
Ah.
Andy says, I was just about to comment on the lack of McCartney songs in your countdown, and then at least you acknowledged it. But really, For No One Isn't Coming Up, when the French horn comes in, is probably becomes one of the best songs ever.
And in her eyes you see nothing, no sign of love behind the tears, cried for no one, a love that should have lasted years.
And I think we said that even on the show, like, yeah, we love that. But we did this as a group effort with listeners.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
That's how the countdown worked, mm-hmm, and what got the votes. 4-1 off of Revolver did not make it in there, but it really is an amazing song.
Oh,
it's a deep cut. If you guys don't know this song from the Beatles, you really should go and listen to it. It's fantastic. It'll make you cry.
Yeah, it really is. And of course, we have a French horn connection too with Dan Gursky. So, you know, I don't know. We should do a McCartney week sometime and discuss his solo work too, because I'm a big fan of that.
I agree. You know, just the other day on SiriusXM, I heard Band on the Run, okay? Which I always thought, I don't know, I just heard this, it's kind of a cheesy or hokey song or whatever, but sometimes, like, when you hear a song that you haven't heard in a long time, you sort of like, at least I do, I sort of like, okay, I want to just listen to this like with fresh ears.
Yeah.
Like, pretend I've never heard this before. I just want to try to listen to it. And actually, I was kind of blown away by that song. It's a
pretty great song.
It really is a pretty great song. Mm-hmm. And then Jet is on that same album.
Ooh,
and Jet is a masterpiece of a song. It's great.
Uncle Albert. There's a lot of classics. That's another really good one.
That's getting a lot of attention right now because there's something like Anniversary or something or something to do with Uncle Albert. And somebody wrote, like, let's all remember the time when there was a brief moment where Paul McCartney was like the weirdest of the Beatles.
Yeah.
Right?
I know. Right. Yeah.
You know? So anyway, we should get back into that. But anyway, getting back to Andy Aldridge and sort of the real-time tweets, he says, still holding out for Here, There, and Everywhere to redeem things. So he was tweeting this when he hadn't heard yet the rest of the countdown. Unfortunately, Here, There, and Everywhere was not on the list, but it's another fantastic Paul song.
Gosh, it's a beautiful song.
It's
one of those ones that you can't think of how it didn't exist.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, it must have always been somewhere.
If you were solely grading songs just based on like vocal melody lines, this would be a top 10 all time song.
Oh my
it's
God.
Really amazing.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. Let me move on here. We got an email from Tom Payne.
Oh, great. I love his pamphlets.
Yes. Well, and this kind of reads like that too.
Yeah, it does.
Because it's like bullet pointed.
I like it.
I think this came in like a series of tweets, or emails, I kind of put this together here. Tom says, it seems like your listeners only like John songs. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Yeah. So true. We only ended up having like essentially like 1.5 Paul McCartney songs on the top 15. So and then he says, the Beatles starting some of their songs with the chorus might stem from their Buck Owens fandom. And I had not thought of that.
That is interesting.
We mentioned that, right? So, you have any thoughts on that?
I just think it's a really smart observation. I mean, Buck Owens was an innovator in the way he wrote songs.
I've got a tiger by the tail that's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me. Well, I'm a losing weight and I'm turning mighty pale. Looks like I've got a tiger by the tail.
You know, we know they were fans. They covered Act Naturally. I think it's a great insight. I mean, the Beatles, for all the innovative and amazing, groundbreaking things that they did that no one else had ever done, they were also constantly listening to music and current stuff and taking little bits and pieces that they liked and working them into what they wanted to do. It's what they always did with old rock and roll songs, but they did it with contemporary music too.
Right. And one of the great lessons of the Beatles, and I think this is kind of lost today because it just, this environment does not quite exist anymore, but you know, when they played in Hamburg and were playing like hours and hours,
nine sets a night or whatever it was, I know,
of music, right? And they were, you know, essentially a cover band at that time, they just learned so much about music, right?
Absolutely.
And so then that was hugely important to their development as songwriters and musicians, mm-hmm, that then they were able to, you know, sort of pick and choose little things from their favorite stuff and incorporate into their own music. And so this might have been a good influence. And the other thing I'll say about Buck Owens, you know, as a late in life fan of Buck Owens, I probably discovered him 10 years ago or something, you know, because I didn't really grow up with country music. But what I loved about Buck Owens when I did discover him and really got into his stuff is, put the country music aside, he's one of the all-time great like pop music songwriters and performers.
Absolutely.
It transcends country music or really any genre.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he had a vision, you know, and followed that vision. You know, and if you happen to not know a lot about Buck Owens, you should find the two episodes of Cocaine and Rhinestones that Tyler Mahan co-did about Buck Owens and Don Rich. They're unbelievably
fantastic.
Great. Yeah, just great storytelling.
Great stuff. And then Tom Payne goes on to say, I thought I was the only weirdo whose favorite Beatles song was Rain. So just set this up. If you haven't heard the countdown, that ended up being the number one song that our listeners, you know, voted on in terms of their favorite Beatles songs. And, you know, here's another vote for it, right?
So exactly.
It says something about how this one song to the casual fan is unnoticed, but holds a lot of weight with, you know, the real Beatles fans, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And such a stark contrast to Led Zeppelin, where it was just kind of a hidden, weird Beatles B-side, where Zeppelin never had any of that kind of stuff except for, you know, one prominent case. So
when we did the Led Zeppelin countdown, it sort of gravitated toward like hit songs that you've heard a lot, but that's kind of what Led Zeppelin was, you know? So
exactly
with the Beatles, it was a more eclectic list in the end.
Yeah, it really was.
One last thing that Tom says, now you should do the top 100 Guided by Voices songs.
I mean,
still a fraction of their catalog.
That's about right. Yeah. Doing 100 GBV songs is basically like doing 10 from anyone else. Yeah. He has 100 albums. Robert Paul has put out 100 albums.
All right. Let me read this one more and then I'll give you one to read here.
Okay.
This is a Facebook comment from an old friend of mine, a friend I used to work with back in the 90s. And his name is Rob Viapando. And he now lives in Austin, Texas.
Cool.
And Rob says, and Rob is a huge Beatles fan, by the way. Rob writes to us, she said, alternates with a couple of other songs as my favorite on Revolver. It's one of a handful of Beatles tracks that sounds like it could have come from the late 80s or early 90s alt-rock college radio.
So true.
I don't know if that's more of a reflection on the Beatles or the state of radio back then.
Interesting. That's an interesting comment. Yeah. You know, I know the Feelies covered that song live. You know, there's a lot of Beatlesque stuff and a lot of really charming pop music that came out in the 80s, you know, that was college radio on vinyl. That's kind of obscure. So be a cool radio show.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was just listening to the band. You remember the band The Posies?
Yeah. Another great example.
I was just listening to them yesterday.
Yeah. Two great songwriters.
Yeah.
Right. Who alternate. I mean, they had some amazing songs.
Yeah.
Really good band.
And it's funny that Rob says this, too, because I went to college in the late 80s. And that was when I really discovered Revolver, because it was the time when they released a lot of those albums on CD. So I got them. And Revolver was the one that just blew me away and still it is my favorite Beatles album.
Yeah.
But I can relate to what Rob is saying here, because part of the reason why I connected with it so much was because it sounded contemporary at that time.
Yeah.
You know, it sounded like a lot of the other bands I was listening to. We talked about Sonic Youth the other day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's kind of some Sonic Youthness to that album, you know?
You're right. And that was a great time to be listening to college radio, too.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, the late 80s really was. The mid to late 80s was a prime time for that college rock, college radio. It was just a feast for the ears back then. And, you know, it was so great.
Totally.
So,
yeah, great. Great observation. Thank you, Rob. All right.
Mm-hmm.
One more comment here. Another listener from England, right?
Yes. It looks like we have Tony Timmington from Chelmsford, Essex. Gosh, I don't know where that is or who your club might be, but let us know, Tony.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to somehow relate this.
If I had a minute, I would look it up.
To football.
Yeah. After this is done, I want to ask something too.
Okay.
Hi, chaps.
Chaps.
Mike Wagner urged me to relate a recent conversation I had. First of all, I should explain how I know Mike. Many years ago, maybe 20, Mike came over to England on a visit with my wife's nephew, Dan Reading. It became immediately apparent that he, Mike, was just a tad Beatle obsessive. That was when we embarked on the first Stoat tour of London, calling at any vaguely Beatle-connected location. These included Abbey Road Studios, Marylebone Station, location of the opening scenes of Hard Day's Night, Wimpole Street, where Paul wrote Yesterday. On a later trip, we ventured over to Henley-on-Thames to view George Harrison's house, Friar Park. Not that you could see the house from the road. Anyway, that's some background. Back to the story that Mike wanted me to relate. A few months ago, I was on a bike ride up to a village called High Easter in Essex. I called in at the Snug for a coffee. There was another cyclist sitting at a table outside. I asked if I could join him. We talked about bikes for a while, as cyclists tend to do. At some point, I can't remember why, he mentioned that a friend of his had recently been mugged in New Orleans. That reminded me of a story I had read in a newspaper some years ago about Ray Davies from the Kinks being mugged in New Orleans for his video camera. Ray gave chase and was shot in the leg. The other cyclist expressed surprise. What? He never told me that story. I live next door to Ray and we go watch the Arsenal together and he's never mentioned that. Well, that's the story. I hope it wasn't too much of a letdown. Because of Mike, I now have started to listen to your podcast. Regards, Tony. That's a fantastic story.
That's amazing,
yeah,
isn't it?
It really is, yeah. Tony Timmington, thank you so much.
I knew the story about Ray Davies and New Orleans.
I read that in his bio.
That is true. Mm-hmm. But I guess in England, yeah, you might just live next door to a famous rock
That's
star,
incredible.
Right? Yeah.
Now, I just want to say this one thing. I shared a video with our little Rock in the Suburbs team the other day. And I've long time been a fan of Men in Blazers, who are two guys that talk about their passion of soccer and, you know, Englishmen that moved to the United States and now reside here. And they just do things in a really cool way. But they recently did a bunch of short videos traveling around Britain and London. And Roger Bennett went to a place called the Regency Cafe in London and he ordered a full English breakfast. And I have never seen this before, but I was really immediately fascinated by it.
So what is an English breakfast
exactly?
Apparently,
it includes...
It's a lot of bangers?
It's not bangers and mash, but bangers are sausages, I think.
Yes, they are.
So apparently there's bacon, sausage, beans, tomatoes, something called bubble and squeak, and then something called black pudding. And then you also get toast and tea and coffee, and you're supposed to use this stuff called HP sauce, which is like a brown sauce.
Yes, I know the HP sauce. Yes.
So I really want to have it. It looks incredible, and it looks like you would only have to eat once that day if you actually finished a full English breakfast. But, Tony, if you can tell us anything about that, I'd love to hear about it.
All right, bubble and squeak. I want to know more about that,
too. What is bubble and squeak? Did you got anything on that?
I'm looking it up. I think it involves more sausages somehow. But no, it's made from... No, I take that back.
Okay.
It's a traditional English breakfast made from boiled potatoes and cabbage.
Oh, okay.
You know, I just want to say, not to offend any of our English listeners, mm-hmm. please stick with us, but you know, you're not exactly known for your cuisine. It's not really...
That's right.
It's not really their thing. All right, where are we with this? Let's get out of here.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. But thanks, Tony. That was great. And thanks, Mike Wagner, for making that connection. And sounds like a lot of fun you had going to the Beatles landmarks in London.
Great, great stuff.
Yeah.
All right. And we mentioned we did the Beatles countdown. We did the Led Zeppelin countdown. So now we need to do another countdown. We got to think about that.
Give us some ideas.
What we're going to do. Yeah, send us some ideas of who we should do. We particularly like it if there's some kind of like reason to do it, like if there's some time peg or something like that, a new album or an anniversary or that kind of thing, and then we'll do another one.
It'll be great. Certainly the Kinks and Guided by Voices are in play, so
absolutely
see what it could be.
All right, this is Rock in the Suburbs. You can correspond with us by emailing rock@suburbspod.com or calling
612-440-1984
or hitting us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of those at Suburbs Pod.
Just plug that into any internet location and you'll get all the relevant locations for us, wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
And we are international, so you can hear us in England, you can hear us in Germany, you can hear us around the world.
Around the world. We're bad, we're worldwide.
That's right. Tomorrow,
yeah,
we're going to talk about some books you have read.
I can't wait.
Right?
It's going to be great.
All right, let's do that.
Okay, cool.
Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
I like my football on a Saturday, roast beef on Sunday.
So Ray Davies apparently is an Arsenal fan. You're an Arsenal fan.
No,
you're not an Arsenal fan. You're a Tottenham fan.
You got that wrong, Jim. Yeah, way wrong.
Yeah, my I'm sorry. My friend Bill Horn is an Arsenal fan.
Oh, is he? That bastard.